Passing recording. So last week we had this definition and by the way, welcome to the last week of the course, at least of the lectures. So we defined what the value of the portfolio is, and this did look actually like in the discrete time case. Then we said, okay, this process is the value process. And we had before we defined that the trading strategy is called now phi instead of psi, but I hope you can live with that. And then we defined what we did not do in the discrete case, the gains process, by just taking the stochastic integrals with respect to the share prices, and inside was the trading strategy. And we said that we define it if the stochastic integral is well defined. Okay, maybe I can make this more nice. Yes, now I have more space. So why do I recall this? I recall this because I want to make a comment to this self-financing. So we said that a trading strategy is self-financing if you can write it up like this object is equal to the value of the portfolio at time zero, and the gains process at time t. And I said that this is this has a relation to the, well, this can be explained why we do it, why we call this self-financing, if you look at the discrete time case. And in the discrete time case, that we said that trading strategy is self-financing, so this is the old definition as the, from the lecture notes I copied. If one of these conditions is satisfied, so in the moment we are looking not at the discounted process but at this one, and what can we see that here we had d dimensions, now we have, yeah, so we also have d dimensions here, so this is just written in a different way, so I could also write the trading strategy in its elf component, no, I've component, actually, these are the times, right? So this still has the D components, and it is multiplied with the D components of the share price process, of this D-dimensional share price process. Okay, so now imagine that the phi here, the trading strategy is constant, is a simple process, is constant on intervals. So what would you get here? You would get the phi I at the from the beginning of the interval, so it's constant from the beginning to the end, and you multiply by the difference of the share prices from the end to the beginning. So maybe I should write this down. So if phi I is given like, let's assume we have phi t I minus 1 times the indicator function t I minus 1 t I of u, and I is used here, so I'm using, Yes, this is the ith component. So this is phi I, and I write tk minus 1, and here also. And k goes from 1 to, let's say, capital N. So if I have this situation, then the integral, as we know, at least we know it if S would be the Brownian motion, but this works the same in this share price process situation. So we would have the sum of phi I t k minus 1 times S t k minus S t k minus 1. There should be an I somewhere. Yes. Yeah, the time is now in brackets. So this is S I t k minus S I t k minus 1. Okay, so, and the k goes from 1 to n. And then, of course, we assume that we have t0 is equal to 0, then comes t1, and tn is equal to capital T, something like that. So, this has now the same structure then here, if I still, so these brackets would be this summation here. So I can also have this bracket. If I sum here, then we would have this bracket. We can do that. I'm indicating the bracket. Well, it's not so important. I should make it red. Blue is used. Green is used. Well, let's take pink. So if you have this, then we would make this as a bracket. Okay, and now you can see that if in this special structure, if the phi has this special structure, then this looks similar, at least to this situation. Of course, here we have the continuous time process at discrete times, and here we have our discrete geometric Brownian motion, or Cox-Ross-Rubinstein model, or whatever. But anyway, you can see maybe a similarity between these two expressions, and one can understand why. This is the gains process, just from the interpretation. So we have the number of share prices, and the gain is coming by the change. So the number of shares multiplied by the share prices, and the gain is coming by the change of the share price value, so to say. So this is maybe an interpretation why it's called gains process, and why it does make sense to call a trading strategy self-financing. So we know that we can approximate such trading strategies in a way like this, at least there exists such an approximation, not with this at this time point maybe, but with other objects here, but in this shape. Okay, so this I wanted to tell still, because I think it was not clear why this is called self-financing. At least I wanted to give you a hint. So let's continue with the lecture. And the next, what is coming is the following proposition. So if there exists a unique martingale measure Q, and clearly for the discounted share prices, I'm not mentioning this. And so the last thing we did is we said, okay, what is an option? And we said an option is a non-negative measurable function. And now we assume that this option H, which is just a very theoretical thing, just a non-negative measurable function, that it is square integrable. Then there exists an admissible trading strategy such that, yeah, trading strategy, I'm going to mention the object. So phi is given by phi zero of t up to phi d of t, and t is running on interval zero capital T, such that h tilde is, which is the discounted option, is given by V zero of phi. So with the zero, as you know, at time zero, there, it doesn't matter if you discount or not. So we don't need to put the tilde there. But then we have the sum from 1 to d and the integral phi I of t d s I t from zero to capital T tilde. And I don't need to start here in zero. Why not? Because if the discounted bank account process is just constant one, and if you integrate with a constant integrator, then you have zero. So the zero term is anyway zero. Okay, so this is what we are going to use later in order to find the hatching strategy. So just in the moment, we take this proposition for granted. So the theorem says that if there is exactly one Q which is equivalent to P, such that the share prices which are discounted are Q martingales, any option H which is FT. Well, we said an option is FT. I'm leaving this up, which satisfies that the second moment is finite, can be hatched. Yeah, and if one knows a bit more about it, so we don't prove this proposition, but one can show, or it follows, that actually the expectation of this stochastic integral is zero under these conditions. So it can be shown. That the expectation of what was the guy? This one, phi I of t, d s I tilde of t, 0 t is equal to 0. So this is a consequence from the fact that here we have a martingale, and and this would be in a certain way suitably square integrable. So we have the same situation as with the Brownian motion. There we also know that if the integrand is in the so-called L2, then the stochastic integral has expectation zero. It's a martingale. Okay, so but what does it mean? It follows that the expectation of, with respect to the martingale measure, of the discounted option is just this value, which is a deterministic value. So it tells us that if we discount, so if we know that there's just one martingale measure, range, why is it gone? Okay, martingale measure Q, and the H is the option is square integrable, then we can compute the price of the option by computing the expectation with respect to this martingale measure of the discounted option. So that's the price. So that's a method to compute the fair price. So you need to find the martingale measure, and then you can just compute this expression to get the price. So maybe I should point this a little bit out. Okay, looks funny. I think I'm not able to turn this. So this is the fair price or no arbitrage price. So fair price is maybe a bit childish. Notation. So the official notation might be no arbitrage price. And what is the point why we are interested in such a price? So if you would not use this price, but a different value for the price of the option, then either the holder of the option or the seller would make a riskless profit. And so there's kind of arbitrage possibilities, but these arbitrage possibilities, this is the belief of the finance people, only exist temporarily because the people find out these arbitrage possibilities and use them. And then the market is changing because nobody wants to lose money on a constant rate. So let's write this a bit up. Since one thinks, and actually one can see this in the, on the market, that arbitrage opportunities appear only temporarily. Our aim is to compute, to construct first market models. Which do not admit arbitrage opportunities. Okay, so I'm just mentioning a couple of theorems we have learned in the discrete time case and which are very hard to prove now, so I'm not able to prove them. I'm just giving you the counterparts, and we just believe them. So now comes the fundamental theorem of asset pricing. Fundamental theorem. Theorem is missing. So we did have this fundamental theorem of asset pricing. Now I haven't prepared this. Maybe I can use that anyway and show it again. Where is it? Doesn't want to be seen. Here it is. Okay, let's have a look at the old version. So I hope I can move here. Yes. Let's make it a bit larger. I don't know how much you can see. So the fundamental theorem of asset pricing, unfortunately, is on the next page. So we had all this market, market model assumptions, which we had in the discrete time case. And then we said the following assertions are equivalent. The share prices have this no arbitrage condition, and this is equivalent with the existence of a martingale measure. So no arbitrage if and only if there exists a martingale measure. Okay, so what can we say now? If the market model Oh, let's write it like that. The market model also not, it holds. The market model has an equivalent martingale measure And in the discrete case, we would write if and only if there's no arbitrage. And here it is only one direction. The market does not admit arbitrage. Okay, so the other direction doesn't seem to be true in general, but there's a but. So this is not true in general. But one can change that. There exists an if and only if relation. If one replaces no arbitrage with the concept of no free lunch with vanishing risk. So this is a different condition, and with this condition it's possible to have an if and only if condition. Okay, so I'm not going into detail here, so this is just even in the lecture notes there's a reference where you can find more information about that, but this is just a note for the experts. We come now to the easier cases. So I want to finish with the famous Black-Scholes model and the Black-Scholes pricing formula, and that will be the end of our course. And here we can still compute a little bit and proof a little bit. And then you have seen, so to say, the center, the basics of stochastic finance in continuous time. And everything what we do here has been more generalized a lot in research in the recent like 20, 30 years. Maybe even 40 years. I don't remember exactly the times. Okay, the Black-Scholes model, the famous Black-Scholes model. So we have omega f p f is a filtered probability space. B is an F Brownian motion as we defined a long time ago. So the model of Black and Scholes consists of one riskless asset which is our bank account process, and this is just it's here it starts in one So it's e to the rt, and t is non-negative, and r is positive. And the r is, in the finance notation, the instantaneous interest rate. This comes actually a little bit from the discrete time case, because in the discrete time case you compute the interest from one day, let's say, to the next, or one time point to the next time point, and then you could make a limit, letting the time the distance between the time points shrink, and then you would end up in the limit. Your interest rate would be this one, so instantaneous, the interest rate of one time moment, so to say. This is the explanation. Yeah, and one risky asset, risky in a sense of random, and that is our S of t. And now I'm not putting here a one because we have S zero and we can distinguish this from S. I don't. So it's a little bit change in the notation, because S was in former times the whole collection of the vector processes. Okay, it's S zero e to the sigma b t minus sigma squared half t squared. And we have, okay, so there's something missing. I have to move this. We have also a mu term plus in the exponent mu t. And then we have sigma is positive. S zero is also positive. The price of the share at the beginning, in general, and the mu can be real. Okay. Yeah, and now we can see that the first equation, this deterministic stuff, is a solution of a deterministic differential equation. So S zero solves the differential equation d S zero of t is equal to R S zero of t dt, and S zero of zero is equal to one. And we also have a differential equation for the stochastic. Okay, and this is a unique solution. I hope you know. Otherwise, you have to believe me. And you didn't learn this, but just for completeness, or maybe some of you didn't learn it yet, we also have a differential equation, now a stochastic one, for the second. And actually, this is that this equation is satisfied. I think this was kind of demonstration question, if I remember correctly. Anyway, you should be able to do this to prove that this expression or this equation solves this STE just by using Ito's formula on the right hand side, and then you can see that you get these expressions. So what you can not show is we don't have learned it in this course at least. If you went to stochastic differential equations, then you would know that this also has just a unique solution. I'm putting this here again. S0 e to the sigma bt minus sigma squared half t plus mu t. So it's good to keep this in mind, this relation. So of course you can easily show it with Itô's formula, but sometimes it is useful to see it immediately. Especially, I want to point out the following relation. Imagine mu is 0. Okay, then we have an interesting connection. So if mu is 0, then this term would not be here. And if we write it in the integral form, then this would be a stochastic integral with respect to the Brownian motion. And it turns out that it has expectation 0. And especially, this is a martingale. So S of t, okay, so we have the other, the integral relation would be S of t is equal to S0 plus integral from 0 to t sigma times S of s dbs, and that would be a martingale. So we would need to show that this is in L2, and then we have this is a martingale, and one can do that by maybe showing that this is in L2, and that's probably appearing also in the demo. And what I want to say is, if mu is 0, then this expression on the right-hand side is a solution of this, and this object is then a martingale. So it's good to remember that. So mu is equal to 0, because we need this relation a lot. Okay. Okay. We still have a little bit time. So our aim is to find for these situation, we have a risky asset and a risky asset to find the equivalent martingale measure. And because we write there's only one. So we search for a Q such that Q is equivalent to P, and the discounted share prices are martingales. Now we have just one. So S tilde of T is S of t divided by S0 of t, and that would be, now I'm writing this S of t, and if I divide by S0 of t, what happens? I'm multiplying with e to the minus rt. So I would still have here a minus RT. And we need to restrict to a compact time interval, otherwise we wouldn't succeed. So this is the Q martingale. That would be the conditional Q. It should be satisfy these two conditions. Okay, so how can we find Q? And the answer is so-called Gersanov's theorem. So I want, before I start, I want to repeat the philosophy in finance. So you have your share prices, you can check them out in the internet. You get these kind of graphs, or maybe you get a list of values. And this is what is happening real. And this is the probability that these things are happening are ruled by our P. That is, our P is the probability which gives you the probability of what is really happening. And now we just take an artificial probability which has nothing to do with reality, but which makes these paths looking like martingales just by changing the probability. And this is our martingale measure, which helps us to find out the price. So this is just a method, a tool to get the price, nothing else. And how do we get this other probability measure, this Q, by changing our original one with a density? Okay, so we define theta t be measurable, so in a sense of jointly measurable, so it depends on omega and time, and adapted process. We still have the filtration and or filtered probability space from the previous section, such that this object, if I integrate the theta s squared, then this is finite almost truly. And it doesn't matter whether we use p or q, because almost truly gives us the same, right? And such that the process ht, which is equal to e to the minus integral from 0 to t, theta s dvs minus 1/2 integral from 0 to t theta s squared ds for t in 0 t is a martingale. Okay. To write it in detail, so this is a P martingale. Then, with respect to Q, given by I'm using this h now as a density at the last time point. So I'm defining q of a is equal to the integral over a h t dp for a in f or f capital T. Okay, with respect to this Q, which is defined in that way, the process W given as WT, T in 0, 1, 0 capital T, sorry, with WT is equal to BT plus the integral from 0 to t, theta s ds, 0 less or t, less or capital T, is a standard Brownian motion. So standard, we didn't say, for us, a Brownian motion is always the standard way. Okay, so it's time to have a break. Yeah, just let's have the break now.